visiting today with Clark Jolly. He's running in a runoff, actually, for state treasurer. So glad to have you here with us today, Clark.
Well, thank you so much. Glad to be with you all.
You and I were just kind of laughing because I didn't realize that you sang in my church choir all this time.
Well, it's a pretty big church and a pretty big choir. But yeah, I've been on the vocal team and in the choir at Crossings Community Church for last, 3 years, I guess. Really enjoy that. It's a great church that ministers to a lot of folks, not just here in Oklahoma, but around the world. So it's good to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Well, Clark, talk about the treasurer's impact that you feel about rural banking for us today.
Well, I think first off, when you look at the treasurer's office, and again, thank you for the opportunity to come on and visit with you. When you look at the treasurer's office, obviously most of the investment portfolio is dictated by statute to be in very secure investments. About 93% of the portfolio of the treasurer's actual investment that they directly control is going to be in U.S. Treasuries and U.S. mortgage-backed securities and agencies and those types of things that have bonds. But the other 7%, which when you're talking about tens of billions of dollars of Oklahoma investments over the course of a year, that other 7% you see being invested in local banks. And that can provide a tremendous benefit, not just to the taxpayers of Oklahoma by getting a return on their money, but it also provides a huge benefit to those banks locally. And obviously, we've seen over the last several years, the last decade plus, an effort from Washington to really starve out our hometown banks, our little community banks that know our citizens, that know their fellow folks in town. They've done everything they can to starve them out of existence. And we don't see as many of the small banks today as we used to because of them getting gobbled up by big city banks. And that I think that's absolutely been by design. And it's part of what the federal government tried to do with Dodd-Frank and some of the other onerous burdensome regulations that they put on banking to really try to starve rural banking out of existence, which is not really doing a service to businesses and individuals in those communities, because those bankers know them and they know if they're good on their word. But you know, the regulators in Washington, D.C. think they know better than those of us out here in the western part of the country. And it's just another example of Washington's arrogance.
Do you think we'll ever see a growth in rural banking?
Yeah, I think it's possible, but I think we've got to see a couple of things happen first. I think first off, we've got to see more of an influx of population in rural America, and we're seeing more and more departure from rural America because it's hard to do business when you've got a federal government that's just opposed to everything you're trying to do. Thankfully we've had some good farm bills lately and I know they're reworking it now, but you still have, the Securities and Exchange Commission right now is trying to add another burden on the family farmer to compete with, global firms that are in the agriculture industry to chart their supply chain management and all the climate related information. It's kinds of things like that, that you add those burdens on the family farm and the family ranch, it's just going to make it more difficult for them to survive and more likely for them to get out of the business, sell to, a larger corporate operation and move to where the grandkids are. And if we see a reversal of that, where we can actually see some encouragement of the family farm, of the family ranch, of what we know in Oklahoma is a working model, if given the opportunity to succeed without intervention from Washington or frankly Oklahoma City, then I think we could see a resurgence in rural banking. But to me the atmosphere is tough right now, mainly because of the regulations that you see coming out of Washington, that for decades we didn't have any new banks created in Oklahoma. Right. And that's just, we've got to reverse that trend. I don't know that the state treasurer can really do anything to change that environment, for them, other than to, you know, join with other state treasurers across the country and battling against the kind of anti-fossil fuels, anti-agriculture mindset that we see coming out of Washington that goes into our financial investment firms.
Well, you've had several different roles. You've been in the Senate and the Tax Commission. So what made you decide to run for the role of treasurer?
I tell you, it's the role of a lifetime to me. I don't think most people even think about the treasurer's office. We've had four treasurers in a row that have done a great job of running the office without getting anybody in trouble. And I joke on the campaign trail, Casey, that the last four treasurers, all of them have done a great job of not getting indicted. you know, and I joke about that, but there's actually some truth in that. We haven't had any real scandals. We haven't had any real problems in the treasurer's office. And because of that, a lot of people just take it for granted. And, you know, yet it's a vital position that oversees billions of dollars of investment of Oklahoma taxpayer funds. It helps oversee the pensions. They actually sit on the two largest pension funds. To me, the treasurer's office is a fantastic opportunity to serve Oklahoma using the public treasury management background that I have. You mentioned the Senate, serving as 5 years as appropriations chairman, and then serving as Secretary of Finance and serving at the Oklahoma Tax Commission, where Governor Stitt named me the chairman last year. I feel like a really good preparedness to be able to step into the role of state treasurer day one, because the role of state treasurer is public treasury management. And that's what I've spent the last decade of my life really working in, is public treasury management. And it's a great opportunity to serve Oklahoma. There's some things I want to see done in the office to improve services that we provide to Oklahomans. And I'm committed to making sure we do that.
Well, let's talk about some of those things. So what would you like to see done?
Well, a couple of things. One is, you know, we've got the 529 college savings plan. We are not doing a good job in Oklahoma on the 529. Let me just be real blunt. There is only one state in the nation that has fewer people investing in a college savings plan for their kids, their grandkids, their nieces and nephews, and that state's Hawaii. I mean, we're getting beat out by Montana in the sheer number of people who are investing in a college savings plan. And this is a game changer for education. And in an environment where we see, you know, liberals in Washington, D.C. wanting to cancel and forgive all the student loan debt, This is the responsible way of handling this, of handling the student debt crisis, is to save our own money and not rely on the government to bail us out. And Oklahoma needs to dramatically improve the number of participants in the 529 program so we can attract better investment options and get kids the education they need at Career Tech or in college or a university, to be able to stay in Oklahoma and thrive and succeed. Another area is the unclaimed property program. Right now, the treasurer oversees the unclaimed property program. It's sitting on $1 billion of Oklahoma taxpayer and Oklahoma citizens' monies. Whether it's a utility deposit that somebody forgot about and moved and they couldn't find them, or if it was a stock that they didn't vote in their stockholders meetings for years and they didn't find them and they moved and they give up the money because that's what the statute says. Right now, I had somebody joke with me the other day, you almost have to provide a DNA sample to be able to get your money out of the state treasurer's office for unclaimed property. And, you know, we've got a lot of technology that I think we could use to try to do a better job of going out and affirmatively finding people that have unclaimed property. And instead of just waiting for them to come to the treasurer's office, I'd like to see the treasurer's office be way more proactive in going out and finding people to say, hey, we think you might have some unclaimed property. We want to get it back to you. And then making sure that the process to get it is expedited and isn't unnecessarily delayed.
Well, Clark, what would you like? You've got a runoff coming up. So what do you think it's important to let ag producers know about you?
You know, I'm very proud of my record in agriculture. My dad was an agronomist and sold potash for a living. And so, you know, and my mom is from, you know, rural Oklahoma. And so my roots are really embedded in farming and agriculture and the rural tradition. And that's where my values came from, were from my mom and my dad. I'm very proud of my record on ag. I was a member of the 100% club with Farm Bureau several years in a row. Had developed some very good relationships with our secretaries of agriculture, did what we could to make sure that we invested in conservation, understood the importance of water to our farming communities, and making sure that we had the fiscal resources there, even in times of desperate trouble on our budget side because of low oil and gas prices. When I was chair of appropriations, I still made sure that agriculture and our natural resources in Oklahoma were protected. And I've stood with farmers and ranchers against government overreach, and I've done everything I can to make sure that government stays out of their hair. If government will just stay out of their business, they can succeed and they can do a great job. We just have to let them do their work without Washington and Oklahoma City telling them what to do. That's my track record. I'm a fiscal conservative. I haven't supported tax increases, and I've supported cutting budgets instead of taking more money from people whenever the government needs more money, because I believe firmly that government should live within its means, just like our families have to do the same. And those are the values I got from my mom and my dad, both of whom grew up in very, very rural and frankly, very poor areas of the country. My mom in southeastern Oklahoma, my dad in southern Georgia. Those are the values they instilled in me, and I still hold those values today.
And of course, we want everybody to remember to get out and vote.
Absolutely. It's a vital election. There's a lot on the ballot, but every vote is going to matter big time on August 23rd, because turnout usually for a runoff is very, very low. So your voice, if you show up to vote, is going to make more of an impact than you might believe.
Well, Clark, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And if folks have any questions, they can reach me on my website, which is clarkjolley.com. They can learn more there about me and my 10-point plan for Oklahoma's fiscal future.
Awesome.